have your Bibles with you this morning and would care to join me. We have several verses of Scripture we're going to read. I tried to narrow it down, but I just couldn't take all of them out because they were so important to the message today. So if you would like to join me, Genesis chapter 22, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 and then 7 through 14. And if you would like to join me in standing and honoring God as we read His Word, I invite you to do so. If not, that's okay. But Genesis 22 begins saying, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here am I,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up, he saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about." And if we skip down to verse 7, "Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham," he said, "Father." Abraham responded, "Yes, my son." "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning, grateful, Lord, for the way that you have watched over and protected individuals this week during the hurricane. We're grateful that you have spared many from more damage than was possible. And Lord, we're grateful that we can be in your presence today, because you are the God who provides. Lord, we ask in these moments as we look into your word that you would reveal yourself to us just like you did to Abraham. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sir Edmund Hillary was a mountain climber and an explorer. At the age of 33, he became one of the first climbers known to have reached the summit of Mount Everest. He made the statement, "It's not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves." So often that's a good statement to describe our experience of learning to walk with God. We do not always manage to conquer or accomplish everything that is meant in the walk that we have with God, but many times the difficult experiences we go through help us to manage to conquer ourselves. Helps us to manage to come in line with what God would have us to be as we give in. Our name for God this week comes out of one of those times of testing for Abraham, and it was one of those times, it was an experience where Abraham conquered himself. All of his doubts, all of his fears, and all the questioning that he had are laid to rest as he makes a discovery about God, which causes him to call God by a new name. He experienced God in a new way, and he gave him a new name. Ever since God had covenanted with him and, And ever since God had asked him to leave his home, Abraham had been learning the process of walking with God. That's something we don't grasp all at once. It's an adventure as we go through life. And Abraham had been walking this adventure. He had been learning how to believe in God and trust God. And he had been walking this adventure for more than 25 years. So that's when how long it had been. And finally, God had fulfilled his promise. He'd given Abraham and Sarah a son. And through this, all these 25 years of experience leading up to this event, Abraham had been learning about God. He had been learning who God was. He had been understanding God. He had met God as the sovereign God called El Elyon. He demonstrated that when he paid tithes to Melchizedek after rescuing Lot. He realized that God was the supreme being that deserved the tithe. He had learned that God sees into our afflictions as El Rohi. And this came through Hagar's experiences after Abraham had a son with Hagar. And Abraham learned that God sees our affliction and God speaks to us in the midst of our affliction. He also had met God Almighty, or El Shaddai, when God commanded him to walk consistently before him. Now, all of these experiences had caused him to draw closer to God. It had caused him to be able to walk more and more the way God would have him to walk. These experiences had helped him to become known, as the writer of James said, as the friend of God. He had developed this relationship where he and God were close, and they knew each other as friends. But God is always ready to reveal more of himself to us. He's always ready to lead us to the next step because God wants us to know him intimately. He wants to reveal himself to us in ways that we can't comprehend sometimes. And for Abraham, this next revelation came through a test where he had to exercise an extremely deep faith. God has asked him to sacrifice Isaac. This is the son of promise. This is the covenant child. This is the one who's supposed to be the fulfillment of all the things that God had been promising Abraham for 25 plus years. For Abraham to do this means he is going to have to trust God more than he's ever trusted God before. He's going to have to trust God for the very life of Isaac. You see, if Isaac is a covenant child, and like we said, he was, for he's the one that God made possible. Abraham and Sarah hadn't been able to produce a child. But God produced Isaac when the time was right. And if Isaac is the one who was the beginning of the many descendants that Abraham was supposed to have, then God was going to have to do something God had never done before. He was going to have to restore life to a dead body. Because, see, for Abraham to be obedient to God, which is what God was asking, Abraham had to commit the act of killing his son. This was the faith challenge that Abraham faced. And if all God's promises were true and Abraham believed they were, then for him to obey God meant that Isaac had to die. And God would have to provide the fulfillment of his promises all over again. Well, this challenge was even brought to his attention by Isaac. As Abraham was working to fulfill the command that God had given him on the way to the place of sacrifice, Isaac brought up the point that they didn't have the lamb. They didn't have the sacrificial animal. What did Abraham say? He said, God will provide. Abraham's faith was revealed in that answer. You see, he was believing God could do whatever was necessary. But he was going to be obedient to what God had asked him. You know, as we read, that Abraham passed this test. He came through it with flying colors because he was going to do the very act that God had commanded. He had the knife raised to complete the task when God stopped him. He stopped Abraham just in time and provided a substitute lamb. Well, in this experience, Abraham learned that God will provide. Or as some would say, the name Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And this is the God who is much more than a God who just makes promises. This is a God who is much more than just the God who blesses us. This is a God that can be depended on no matter what. The Lord will provide. He can provide a substitute lamb when it's time for a sacrifice to be made. And ultimately, He can provide His Son who can save us from our sins. And that was what Abraham was to learn, and He can provide our greatest need. And Abraham saw through this experience the possibilities of even a future sacrifice. He began to see the possibilities of what God was going to do to restore all people. Because Jesus said about Abraham, He said, "Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." And you know where Abraham saw the deliverance God was going to provide? It was on the mountain as he was getting ready to sacrifice his own son. It was on the mountain as he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. Through that experience, as he came to know God as the God who will provide, he saw the future that was to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Abraham's experience teaches us much about God who will provide. And I want us to look at some of the lessons that we can learn from Abraham's experience, because there's things that will help us see and know the God who will provide. First, it teaches us where the Lord provides for our needs. God always provides in the place of our assignment. You know, when we become a child of God, when we become the individual that God is asking us to be, He usually appoints us and places us in a spot to serve Him. Just like when He covenanted with Abraham, He had a purpose for Abraham, and that purpose was for Abraham to serve Him. And so God always provides in the place of our assignment. For Abraham, the place of God's provision was in the region of Moriah. When God came to Abraham and He said, "I want you to do this," He said, "You go to Moriah, to the area of Moriah, and you go to the mountain, I will show you." That was His assignment. That was His place of service. This was a 3 days journey from where he was, and it was the place that God had sent him for this particular act of worship. God didn't provide before he left. Do you notice that? God didn't provide before he left the house. He didn't provide until he got to the place where God had asked him to be. Part of the test for Abraham was the journey. I can't help but believe that when Isaac asked Abraham that question, there was a hesitation before Abraham answered. "Where's the lamb?" How could he look at his boy and say, "You're the lamb"? Couldn't. Because he had already believed that God was going to do whatever was necessary. He could only trust in God in those moments. Part of the experience was being obedient to the point of raising the knife. See, God couldn't provide until the test was complete. According to scholars, the mountain God sent Abraham to was the approximate site of where the temple was located. God was pointing to a future. It's also very near a mountain where sacrifice was to take place, called Golgotha, the hill of Calvary. God was building toward a future of significant events, and it was important that Abraham be in that location. This truth is important for us. God's provisions always prepare us for where God sends us to. God never calls us to do anything but what He's not already prepared and planned for how it's going to work. We have no right to expect the provisions of God, though, if we're not in the will of God. What if Abraham had decided, well, you know what, that's a long way off. I'll just do my sacrifice over here. Well, over here wouldn't have been where God provided the proof for him. Over here wouldn't have been where God said. We have to do what God asks us to do if we want to see His provisions. We cannot do our own thing and expect God to provide. Abraham had to go to Moriah. He had to go to the right place. He had to be in the right location. I remember when I got ready to come to seminary, and that memory is fading because it's been a few more years than it was, but I got ready to come to seminary. I sent in all my paperwork. I did all the things you have to do to be accepted, but I was a little late in getting it done, which meant that I was accepted to seminary somewhere around the end of May, and seminary started in August, and that meant I had missed the open window of opportunity to sign up for seminary housing because they had a thing called a waiting list. I don't quite understand that, but, you know, I thought God wanted me there. I should be able to get in. So anyway, I realized, you know, I'm going to have a place to stay. So in June or July, I forget which month it was, my parents and I traveled to Fort Worth and went to the seminary. And we said, you know, we know you know of people that rent to seminary students. So, you know, can you suggest someone? Because I'm going to have a place to live. And they hand us a box of 3x5 cards. And on this box of 3x5 cards, there's all kinds of different people who have places that they will rent to seminary students. And so I'm going through this box, and I read this one card, and I pick it out of the box, and I turn to my mom, and I said, this is where I'm going to be living. And my mom, being older and wiser than I was, said, you know, son, we really ought to pick a few more options. So we did, and we left, and we began to call these people and individuals and set up appointments. To make a long story short, the card I picked out was the apartment I ended up renting. See, God knew that He wanted me in seminary, and He had already provided the housing. I just had to be willing to go to the place to get it. I had to be in the right place. And when we make sure we're in the right place of service where God wants us, God will always be sure to provide. Second thing it teaches us is when God meets our needs. For Abraham, it was just at the right time. He didn't do it before. He did it right at the right moment. Right before he plunged the knife into Isaac, God stopped him. And he showed him a ram that was caught in the bushes. Why didn't Abraham see that ram before? Have you ever been around sheep? When they're trapped, are they quiet? No, they make racket. But the point is, God didn't need him to see that ram until it was time. And it wasn't time until Abraham had literally committed the act in his heart and was in the process of fulfilling it. God stopped him. Abraham had to build the altar. He had to put the wood on the altar. He had to bind up Isaac. He had to do a lot of spiritual preparation before God would provide for his need. Because otherwise, the moment wouldn't be right. God always provides meets our needs right when we need it. This was an act of worship. It was an act of sacrifice. Where would the sacrifice have been and the act of worship have been if God had provided the ram before Abraham had demonstrated his willingness? He had to make all the necessary preparations. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, we have to go to God with the right spirit and attitude. In our hearts, we have to have already made the sacrifice. And then God will meet our needs. You know, we have a dream of relocating. We're buying 10 acres. The point being that we want to move. We want to grow. We want to pursue the kingdom of God the way God would have us to pursue it. But you know what? God will not move us until we've made all the right spiritual preparations. He will not move us until the moment is right. He will not move us until we're doing all the kingdom work we can possibly do in this location. It will be right at the moment when we're poised to do greater things than we can do here that God will provide for us to be there. Why? Because He always provides right when we need it. Not a moment too soon, and never, never, never a moment too late. It also teaches us how God provides. For Abraham, it was in quite a natural way for God to provide his immediate need. He needed a ram. He needed a sacrifice. What did God do? He provided a ram. Notice He didn't provide a whole flock. He needed one. God gave him one. He simply allowed a ram to be caught in the bushes and for Abraham to see it at the right time. But Abraham also needed salvation, just like we need salvation. And God sent a substitute lamb who would provide for that, just as like He sent a substitute lamb for us, and that lamb was Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, the one who was sent to prepare the way for His coming, he was the one who announced Jesus. He was the one who began to tell people that Jesus was the answer. Listen to what he said when he saw Jesus. It says the next day, this is in John 1:29, it says the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The point of all this is God will use the resources that are necessary to provide for us. If it's a physical need, He's going to provide physical resources. If it's a spiritual need, He's going to provide spiritual resources. He will provide whatever it takes. And He will provide it just when we need it. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how when we're focused on doing what God wants us to do, we always have what we need to do the job. It's always provided. There's another lesson that it teaches us. It teaches us who God gives His provisions to. Abraham trusted God. And that trust is revealed by the fact that he did exactly what God asked him to do. I mean, you go back and look at the story. He did all this without hesitation. If you go back and look at verse 3, it tells us that he started early the next morning making his preparations. He gets up, he saddles his donkey, he gathers his servants, he goes and chops the firewood, he gathers what he needs for the journey, and he starts out on the journey. Did you notice Abraham had lots of sheep? But he didn't take a sheep with him. He could have. I mean, if it had been me, I'd have been thinking, you know what, maybe God will change His mind. I'll just take one with me just in case. You know, maybe the reality here is I haven't quite got it right, and I'll just take a lamb with me. But Abraham didn't do that. Abraham was being 100% obedient to what God had asked him. He set out with the things he needed to do what God would ask him to do. You notice what he took? He took wood, he took fire, he took a knife, and he took his son. It's what God asked. It's what God said he needed. He didn't know that he was going to need a substitute ram. He didn't know that. He knew he had what God wanted him to do. A deacon once told his pastor, he said, "When God's work is done in God's way, it will not lack God's support." Because Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do, what did he get? He got his son back and he got a sacrifice. When we're doing the will of God, we have the right to expect the provisions of God. He's not obligated to support our ideas, but He is obligated to support His ideas. And He will support them. You want to see God's hand at work? Get in line with God's plan. Because that's when He works. That's when we'll see Him work. Someone has said God did not want Isaac's life. What He wanted was Abraham's heart. And when He saw that He had Abraham's heart, He provided the sacrifice. Well, there's the last thing that this lesson teaches us. It shows why God provides our every need. God gladly provides for our needs, and there's a reason. The reason is Abraham glorified God on Mount Moriah. Why did he name the place? And what did he name the place? He named it God will provide. Why? Because that's exactly what God did. God provided. Abraham had to be the happiest dad in the whole wide world. Why? Because he got his son back. Because God provided. And he celebrated that by naming the place, by giving it significance, but also acknowledging that God was the God who would provide. God was the God who would be sufficient. No matter what the request, no matter what the demand, God would be sufficient. Look at verse 14. It says, and to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The interesting thing about that verse is Abraham didn't write that verse. Moses wrote that verse. Now Moses wrote that verse hundreds of years after Abraham had the experience. Now how did Moses know that? Because Abraham talked. Because Abraham told other people about his experience. Because Abraham said, look what God did. God provided. And so he shared the experience over and over and over again, and the experience that got handed down and handed down and handed down to the point that the Israelites knew that God would provide. Abraham told others about the great things of God. And you know what? God provides our every need for the glory of His name. I think God knew that Abraham was going to brag about God. I think He knew that. I think that's why He set up Abraham to be the one that went to that spot. You look at what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer when Jesus, you know, His disciples came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. What did Jesus show them in that prayer? It says, in that prayer it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. The very first line of that prayer is glorify God. The most important thing we can do when God meets our needs is to praise His name, to glorify Him. Because that's what He wants. Abraham glorified God. Someone has said real faith is not believing in spite of the evidence, but it's obeying in spite of the consequences. Abraham obeyed in spite of the consequences. And because of that, God was glorified. Some of us here today have a deep longing within us to see God. We've been walking with Him. We've been trying to trust Him. And what we really, really, really would like is one of those Abraham moments where we see God provide and we know we can stand up and say, God did this. And I can say that because I'm one of those people. I see Him provide all the time, but you know, we always want a little bit more. We always want to see the great things that God can do. Well, you know, there's some things that may need to happen for us to experience that. Maybe that means that we need to move our eyes off of what we have in our hands into what God is providing. I mean, you think about it. Abraham had Isaac on the altar, but God had provided a ram. All that Abraham had to do was to get his eyes off of what was there onto what God was doing, what God was providing. Maybe for you that means that it means moving your life more into the will of God. Maybe you're not in the place of service you should be yet. You know, God has called and gifted each and every one of us to do something in His kingdom. That's the way He works. He wants to share the joy of His work. And part of the way He shares that joy is He gifts us to do stuff. Abraham had to go to Moriah. He had to do what God asked him to do. And maybe God is asking you to do something and you're not doing it yet. If you want to see God at work, you've got to do what He asked you to do. Maybe that means teaching. Maybe it means preaching. Maybe it means ushering. Maybe it means serving in the nursery. But if you want to see the power of God, you got to be doing what God asked you to do. Maybe for some that means being patient and waiting on God's timing. God, like I said, provides at the right moment. Or maybe it means finishing some spiritual preparation. Maybe there's something God still wants you to do more before He reveals what's next. Abraham, you know, he had to build the altar. He had to put the wood on the altar. He had to tie up Isaac. He had to do spiritual preparation. He had to prepare for the sacrifice. Maybe for you to have that Abraham moment means you need to become more obedient to what God is asking. The longer I live, the more I realize that God wants one thing. It's 100% obedience. He won't accept 95%. He won't accept 99%. Why? Because He's perfect. And He asked from us 100% obedience. Abraham was willing to plunge the knife into Isaac. That was 100% obedience. Maybe all that's missing for you to have that Abraham moment is to praise God for what He's already doing. You know, part of being human is we don't always see reality. We see what we think we see, but it's not reality. I'm amazed at how many times, as I look back, I see that God was at work. I don't see it when I'm in the moment, because I'm too caught up. But the Bible teaches that sometimes God reveals Himself through our praises. So maybe what we need to do is praise Him. Those are just things that could be possible. And maybe you're here today and God has brought you here because He wanted you to have an encounter with Himself. Maybe you've never come to that point of admitting that He is God and accepting Him as the one who can redeem you. Maybe He's speaking to your heart and He's saying, I want to change your life. Maybe what you need to do is surrender. It's called accepting Him as your Savior. Maybe God brought you here today because this is your Moriah. This is the church where He wants to plant your life. This is the church where He wants to use you. And He's asking you to join this church today. See, God knows why you're here. And He's speaking to you in these moments. We're going to stop and we're going to have a time of invitation. And it's the opportunity to respond to what God is asking. And it's this morning as we close, I'm just going to say, if God is speaking to you and there is a need, maybe it's a need of coming up here and just praying to God and talking to Him and getting on His side of things. Maybe it's a need of making a life commitment. I'll be here to help you with that. But if you have a need, would you come in these moments as we stand and as we sing?